Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Friends to the End, your one-stop shop for all things Friends. As I, a Friends expert who's seen every episode a million times over, walks my good friend, a Friends novice, through every episode. I'm Michael. I'm joined, as always, by Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. There's no better way to say it. I'm doing just hunky-dory and peachy and fine.
That's wonderful to hear.
You doing okay?
Yes.
Yeah?
Why are you doing so well?
Just, you know, what's there to complain about, you know? Sun's shining, the birds are singing, got a lovely wee drink in my hand, and we just watched an episode of Friends.
Yes, we did.
What more could a person possibly ask of life?
Well, it is nighttime. But the sun is shining in other parts of the world.
Yeah. I mean, my point is the sun is still in the sky and giving life to this earth. Because in about 300 billion years' time, Elizabeth, that sun will collapse upon itself and all life on earth will extinguish.
Do you think it'll take that long?
Maybe not, but the human race will be long extinct by then anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
What a good way to start this off.
Hi, everyone! Well, we can bash on, because I know you're tired and you get punchy when you're tired, so we'll just move on with things.
Fine.
Elizabeth.
Michael.
Let's play Bamboozle.
Woo! Bamboozled.
Would you like to hear...
Bamboozled. Bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
Would you like to know who bamboozled you last week?
I sure would.
I'm afraid this one's going to hurt particularly because it's your number one fan. Greggles bamboozled you this
Greggles!
Week.
Greggles!
Yep. He signed his bamboozling Greggles specifically, so he got 5 out of 5, so shout out to Greg.
Shit. Good for you, Greggles, honestly.
She says through gritted teeth.
Good job, pal. God, I am not great at this game. But of course not. Why don't we do bamboozled and ask me something about, like, I don't know, kittens.
Because it's got to be about Friends. So anyway, well done to Greggles over on at @WSBH_narrator. You should check out, he does spooky stories on YouTube now. Check him out. Yep. Horror story narrator on YouTube. You can check him out. But just find him on Twitter because I can't read out his YouTube thing. It's too long and we've got things to do. Like try and bamboozle you. I think you're going to get at least 3 this week.
Really?
I think so.
Wow, that vote of confidence has really lifted my spirits.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
All right, first of all, how many claps in the intro?
4.
Correct.
That was the question?
That was the question.
Oh my God.
I was going to take your first answer. I just thought you might
have. This is too easy.
Okay.
Clap, 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 clap.
Joey got an acting gig. He considered it to be his big break. He was going to be the butt double for a very famous actor in a movie. Who was the actor for whose butt he was supposed to double for?
Robert De Niro?
Oh!
No?
Al Pacino?
No!
Oh, Elizabeth.
No!
I don't know if we spoke about it at the time, but Al Pacino, it must be at least 20 years... Joey's senior.
Oh yeah, so we talked about it. How the butt really wouldn't equate.
He didn't. He should be so lucky.
Oh man, I really thought I had that one.
Yep.
All right.
Next up, what is the name of Joey's agent?
Oh, flying fuck.
We love her.
I know.
She's got her little cigarette thing. Would you like to phone a friend? Feel like we should give you like some sort of phone a friend.
Can you give me the first letter of her name?
Okay. It starts with an E.
Oh, Elaine. Okay, is that it? It's still wrong.
It's Estelle. Okay.
Oh no. Okay, so the confidence is slipping, I bet.
Yep, the confidence is slipping. Those I really thought you'd have 3 out of 3 by now.
Oh,
so
come on.
Yeah, I don't know how well you're gonna do these last 2 questions. Alright. Elizabeth, there was an episode where the Friends gang thought that the unofficial seventh member of the gang, Ugly Naked Guy, had passed away. So to make sure that he was alive, they constructed a giant poking device. What was the main thing that the giant poking device was made out of?
These are so obscure.
You see it in the opening credits. They're like launching it forward. It's something that they had access to. They tied a bunch of these things together and they had access to them in their apartment.
Like a hockey
stick. If you remember...
I didn't guess it, anything.
If you remember the visual, because it was in the opening credits for a long time, it's like them reaching over. It's lots of little things, about maybe the length of a pen, maybe a little bit longer, all lashed together.
Straws?
Well, you're in the right ballpark.
I didn't get it.
And I can't really give you very many more guesses.
Especially because I said a hockey stick.
Chopsticks.
Oh, I would have never thought of that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
All right.
You got me all excited and now I'm just flailing in the wind here.
Final question is multiple choice. Great. So you've got a 1 in 4 chance of setting your highest score
record. I'm
going to
need some better odds than that, Michael.
Okay. Joey, he moved out. This is a Joey-heavy bamboozle.
Also.
Joey moved out one time and he got his own place. And he decorated it with lots of weird and outlandish things.
Yes, I remember, okay.
Which one of these things was not found in Joey's apartment?
Oh, fuck.
And I'm giving you no extra descriptions.
Okay.
Panther table, giant dog, crying window, or 6-foot lava lamp. Which one of these things was not in Joey's pretty tacky apartment?
Well, I remember the dog because they still have it.
Mm-hmm. It's the only thing he kept.
Crying window, I feel like that's so weird, and I think that's a thing, because I have no idea what the hell a crying window is, so I'm going to keep that in. And then leopard table? Panther table and...
6-foot lava lamp.
Oh, no. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, Bob Dylan.
I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say 6-foot lava lamp.
It's a new record! Yeah, 2 out of 5. Congratulations. Yeah. So if you were listening along at home and you scored more than 2 out of 5, then congratulations. You were able to bamboozle Elizabeth. It is the honor system, of course. No one's actually checking your answers. But if you did bamboozle Elizabeth and you want a shout out on the show, all you have to do is shoot us a wee tweet. @FriendsPod, tell us your score. And tell us what you want us to shout you out for. Thanks. Good job. And if you got one wrong, tell us which question you got wrong.
No one's going to get anything wrong, because apparently these were easy and I still could only get 2.
The butt double one was easy. The agent one was easy. The other two,
it's
not
funny,
necessarily.
Because those weren't easy. So everyone has different perspective on things, Michael. Nope. We have to take that into account.
Anyone that's seen Friends a bunch of times would know.
I haven't.
I know.
So it's not easy.
Shall we get on to talking about today's episode?
Sure.
We've just finished watching season 4, episode 15.
You just go to England?
No. The one with all the rugby. And boy oh boy, there was a lot of rugby.
I'll say.
At least 2 games.
A lot
two
of
games
rugby.
Of rugby. Mm-hmm. That's twice. It's not twice as many as other episodes because you can't multiply 0. But it's a lot more rugby than we've seen in any other episode.
200% more, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This show first aired on the 26th of February, 1998.
It's catching up with us.
It is.
To real time.
Well.
Minus the year.
And it will never catch up on your, you know, come 2003, it'll all be over. All right, Elizabeth, you've got a commanding lead in our little predicting the ratings game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the score is 9-4.
Yeah, can you say that? I just couldn't hear
the
what
score's
you said.
The score's 9-4. There's still 10 episodes left this season, so I can close that gap quite easily.
Now, who has 9?
You have 9.
Okay.
I have 4.
Great. I just want to make sure.
I guess first last time, so you get to guess first this time.
All right.
Last episode was Joey's Dirty Day with Charlton Heston. 25.1 million people watched it. Where are you going?
24.6.
All right. I can't afford to play honorably, so I'm going to say 24.7.
Ah, what?
Don't care. Don't care. Need some points. And the right answer is...
Yes!
24.4! I shall never...
Why did it start so high? God, I can't hear that.
No, keep going. Alright, no, stop it. I'm never gonna concede defeat. What was it, 24.4?
Yep.
Ugh. God damn it, friends. So we open. Chandler's got a lovely little trip to the nail salon. Salon. How do you say it?
Salon.
Salon.
Salon. Not salon. Salon.
In the UK, we say salon.
Okay, well, salon. Try it.
Salon.
No, salon.
Salon.
Good, good, yeah.
Don't patronize me.
It's patronize.
No, it isn't. They're patronizing the nail salon.
Okay, so we have Rachel and Chandler in the nail salon. Rachel's getting a manicure and Chandler's getting a pedicure.
What's the difference, Elizabeth?
Well, a manicure is when you're getting your fingernails cleaned up and polished, and a pedicure is...
Slow down. I haven't finished taking notes.
So, a pedicure...
Okay, I didn't... All right.
Yes, so they're sitting strangely close, and Chandler's feeling a little bit awkward about the fact that he's the only guy in there, and Rachel said he probably wouldn't be, and
she's like, there's a guy over there, and he's like, that's our mailman.
Yeah.
And that made me feel bad.
Delivering the mail.
I wouldn't even recognize our mailman. Or a mail woman, or a mail carrier. Would you? I wouldn't know them from Adam.
I think if they were in their outfit, I would.
Would you?
Their uniform. Yeah, because I've seen them a few times.
Oh, really? Is it the same person every time?
Yeah, because they're assigned to certain areas, and that's where they deliver their mail.
Should we be tipping them?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. We'll make cookies. We'll bake cookies for them. Just like Mr. Trigger.
We could do it around, the holidays or something.
It's a friend's joke. So anyway, he's getting his nails done. Rachel is also getting her nails did. And then out of nowhere, like a bolt from the blue, we hear that classic Friends war cry.
Oh my god.
You're like, you like roll it a little bit too much, and I feel like there's a punctuation after each one.
Okay, sorry.
Oh my god. Who is it, Elizabeth?
It's Janice.
Ugh. You have the exact opposite reaction to characters that you're meant to have. You're not meant to be happy to see Janice again.
She's a great character.
She's not. She's the worst.
No, she's good because she's the worst. She's doing a good job because you don't like her.
She's sort of like, she's the Lilith in Frasier. Like
Lilith's funny though.
But they like trot her out like every like season. Like they'll just do like a guest appearance. And it's like, I've grown like... They make fun of Lilith all the time in Frasier, but I've grown to really appreciate Bibi Nuriff's performance, and she's awesome.
Exactly.
Not the same with Maggie Wheeler for Janice, I'm afraid.
Well, Janice is annoying.
So is Lilith in a way.
I guess, yeah. But it's different.
Yeah, Janice is a pain in the ass.
So...
But you were pleased to see her.
Well, I knew she'd be back. I knew it. I could
did you?
Feel it.
How did we leave the last time? Like, they broke up. They were dating quite happily, and then she went back to her husband.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. No, what am I asking you for? And that opened the episode.
Didn't she have a baby?
She has a baby, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She got back together with the husband because they had a kid, and it made more sense because she loved them both.
Okay, so that's the opening.
That's the opening. We then open after the music of the Rembrandts yet again. Joy's Hill. One thing I didn't notice from the new intro, these last few episodes, is Joy's hole gets filled in.
Yeah.
By seawater.
Yeah. From the sea.
From the sea.
Is that supposed to be like an innuendo?
No.
A euphemism?
The episode opens and Monica is all in a tiz.
A tizzy.
She's in a tiz and a tizzle and a tizzy.
Tizzy.
There's a switch in her apartment that doesn't do anything, and she's not happy about it because she's the exact person who wouldn't accept such a thing. You can't have a switch that doesn't do anything.
Well, I mean, it's right when they open the door and walk into the apartment, so your hand would automatically go to, like, you know, that side of the wall to turn a light on.
Yep.
So I think it'd be frustrating with so much of the time you're always using that outlet, the one next to it works, why wouldn't you just hit them both on, you know?
Like, you would just think, oh, it was for a light fixture that is no longer there, and maybe just move on.
Well, after many people would, but not...
But not our Monica. No way. She sees things through to the bitter end, as we shall find out. So they're all hanging out in their apartment, the small apartment. Chandler brings Janice in to see everyone. Joey's not happy to see her. Everyone else is pretty ambivalent.
I don't think they...
They don't care.
I don't think they care, but I think they're worried that something's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's revealed in this little interaction that Janice is now divorced. She gave it a shot with her husband. Didn't work. Now she's divorced. That's over and done with. And, you know, in the walk from the nail salon...
Good.
Up until that apartment, they seem to have, like, rekindled their old fire.
Yeah, what? They're, like, all over each other. It's just, they're talking like they've been together for 45 years. I just don't understand. Like, how long was the drive? 20 minutes? Like, what?
So, yeah, they seem to be back together. And they're like, yeah, okay, bye-bye. So she left. And Chandler's like, no, I hate her again. I don't love her anymore. I'm just annoyed by her.
Yep.
So he wants to get rid of her. And everyone has a good laugh. Because we know that Chandler can't dump Janice. We've seen it several times before.
I know.
What a spineless coward.
Whoa. All right.
Ross and Emily throw caution to the wind and walk the dangerous streets of New York City alone at night.
Is that her name, Emily?
Yeah, Emily.
Emily.
Hello, I'm Emily. I'm Ellen Baxendale. And when I say Ellen Baxendale, I don't mean Ellen as in, you know, Finding Dory. I mean Helen, but you take the H off. I'm Ellen Baxendale.
Oh, I thought it was Ellen.
No, it's Helen. Helen Baxendale. Should definitely clarify. She's like, I can't believe you walk down these streets. It's so dangerous. And Ross is like, I'm very brave.
And then these two big guys come out of nowhere, lift her up.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross, instead of being like, get off her, get off! He just like, help, help, somebody help! And he runs in the opposite direction to yell for help. Doesn't go back and see how she's doing or tries to fight them off. He screams for help while not spilling his freaking double decaf latte or whatever. Hate him. Hate him.
I've heard of a carjacking, but a person jacking?
It's dirty.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have heard of that.
So it turns out to be
a couple of friends from the old country. Yay!
Yeah!
A couple of English guys, Liam and some other boy. And they're just like, oh, it's good to see you. And they're like, oh, it's good to see you too. And it's just all great. You know, I was transported back home to my home country.
Oh, yeah?
The United Kingdom. Just...
Where they're drinking beers out in the street.
Yeah, well, yeah, they are actually doing that. That isn't such a weird sight. But it's kind of hinted. So there's a really big guy with shaggy hair called Liam. And he kind of insinuates that him and Emily had a little romantic tryst.
Yes.
At some point. What did you think of Liam?
I thought he was a wrestler. He looked very big.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of his accent?
I didn't really notice.
Did you think it was authentic?
Well, now that you're asking me? No.
It didn't sound very authentic.
Okay.
It was sort of like the equivalent of when British people try to do an American accent and they just sort of go, yee-haw,
wah, 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 down. Why don't you try?
What, an American accent? I mean, anyone that listens to this show regularly will know that my accent flits between Scottish and American quite regularly, so I don't really need to practice.
Oh, no, 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 we need to hear
it. No, we're good. So Ross is intimidated by this big, burly bugger. We call them rugger buggers back home.
Really?
Yep. Because he's been romantically involved with Emily, and they invite him to play rugby. And Emily scoffs at the idea. She's like, oh, certainly not. And Ross is like, no, I can play rugby.
Oh, he's the worst.
Elizabeth, you've played a wee bit of rugby.
I have.
You've probably played more rugby than I have.
Yeah.
What do you... Tell us a little bit. Give us a little bit of expert knowledge about rugby.
I couldn't do that. Let's be honest. I played in 2009 when I was studying abroad in Ireland, in Dublin, and I played for their, I don't know, some sort of like rec team, but there was a real coach, and, you know, I sent one girl to the hospital by incorrectly tackling her.
Like around the neck?
No, she just landed really weird, and I think that was my fault.
Nah, it's her fault.
I got hurt a lot. I had to get my knee taped up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach called me Yank. And I'm pretty sure he just didn't know my real name. So that's my expertise.
What position did you play? Did you score a try?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah!
Ah.
Because I mostly ran with it and tried to avoid everyone.
Were you a winger? Were you like the last person like out on the far line opposite the scrum?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a winger.
A winger! A wanker.
Winging your way. So they invite Ross to play. Emily is like, I don't think that's a good idea. And Ross is like, oh, I'll show you. And yeah, he's talked himself into a rugby game.
Oh, Ross, what are you doing, man? Should come on. Fun.
Chandler and Janice arrive in Central Perk, the scene where he's tried so many times to break up with her in the past. Did they go and see a play? They were talking about singing, and she apparently sung along to Old Man River.
Yeah, it sounded like they were going to see some sort of performance, and someone was singing that song.
He's trying to distance himself from the fact that they're, like, an item and a couple. He's trying to, like, nip it in the buds before it gets too serious. Why the fuck are they going to see a play?
I mean, I imagine that she had tickets, or she was like, hey, let's go into this movie, or, you know, she's been trying to spend some time with him.
She's the worst.
And I don't know why he can't just be courageous and say, Janice, I want to be honest with you before this gets too far. Like, what? Because that's not funny. Like, that's not what a sitcom would do. I don't know.
He's a spineless coward.
Okay. He's a jellyfish.
Yeah. So he tries to be like, oh, I'm just getting out of a serious relationship, so I can't see anyone. She's like, well, I'm just getting off a divorce, so it's meant to be. And then he's like... And he tries a couple of things, and she's just like, meh, 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 meh.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, oh, but my work is sending me to Yemen on business, so I'm moving to Yemen.
Right, he's being transferred.
Mm-hmm. Being transferred to Yemen.
Yeah, he was looking for a place where she wouldn't want to go.
Yeah, because she's sort of like, oh, are you going to London, Paris, Barcelona? And like, sort of insinuating that if it was somewhere nice, she would... move with him.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, shit. And in a massively offensive move to the fine people of Yemen, what I'm sure is a fine and beautiful country with a rich history, he's like, oh, I'm moving to shitty Yemen. Fuck it.
I mean, he doesn't say that. It's just not a place that you would go in a destination. You know, you're not thinking of, oh, let's go to Rome, or let's go to...
She should be following him to the ends of the earth if they're soulmates.
I mean, it's been a couple days. Like, if that.
So, this is an example of nobody knowing what the hell Chandler does for a living, playing to his advantage.
Right.
Just like winning the apartment. God, his job is just paying off triple fold.
Honestly. So, he basically lies to her and says, yep, I have to leave tomorrow. So she ends up saying, well, if you're leaving tomorrow, then that means I'm going to spend every minute with you as to not waste any of your time. So, poor Chandler.
Hoisted by his own petard.
I'll say.
For a day at least.
Uh-huh.
Monica's on the hunt for the switch source. Rachel's nipples in this scene were just everywhere.
Okay, so she's wearing a, what I presume to be either a tank top or a white t-shirt, and then a green sweater over that, and a bra. So, I'm just trying to understand how, unless they're like baby toes, how
it so could... gross! Yeah.
Yep, like a, not baby toes, like on a baby, like an adult baby toe. Like, unless they're that big, I don't get why they're so pokey-outy with all those layers.
Are TV studios cold? I would have thought they'd be really warm under the lights.
I mean, they could be, but it could also be the fake nipples.
Why would it be the fake nipples?
For sex appeal. You know, nothing sexy is happening right now, but ooh, she's really attractive, so let's have her nipples be poking out. So it's like a subtle... sexy thing, I guess.
I can't.
It's all you see, right?
I can't wrap my brain around the concept that she would wear fake nipples, she would be given fake nipples to wear. I can't.
I'm surprised you'd be that naive.
I can't accept that.
Honestly, I think that they're probably fake, and I would love some
other...
It can't
be true!
No, I think so.
It can't be true!
I think that it might be. And I think that the only people that are really seeking any pleasure out of this are young males and freaking infants who are still breastfeeding.
I mean, we're getting some pleasure out of it right now.
Well, like, I can't look anywhere else. And I'm trying to watch this show and memorize it so I can get bamboozled right, and all I can see are these damn nipples.
I'll try and make the questions more nipply going forward.
That would be great.
So she's like... Not she. Monica's hooked up a bunch of devices to outlets that she's recognized that might be potentially linked to the switch. So she's put in a bunch of machines that will make noise into those outlets. She flips the switch and, like, everyone kind of hunts around for, because they hear, like, this faint hum. And they're all, like, looking around, like, oh, where is it? Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? And then it's just Joey being a dick.
I kind of thought it was a good idea, though. So it'd be loud enough so you could hear where it was coming from.
That was a good idea. What, you didn't think it was Joey to begin with. What did you think it was, Elizabeth?
Well, the sound was like a... So I thought it was a vibrator.
Why would Monica plug in a vibrator as one of those things?
Because sometimes they can be loud.
Monica doesn't have a vibrator.
Well, she should. Every woman should.
Oh. Okay.
Moving on.
Ross is doing some research, like a good scholar that he is. He's a man of science. He needs to do his research. Never mind going out there and running some drills before his big game. He's just watching it on the television. It appears to be England versus Wales, I believe, in the rugby game. Of course, I mean, this is very timely. This episode came out on the weekend that the 2018 Six Nations has just finished.
This.
It's a big rugby tournament. Oh. Scotland were in it. We watched it. Congratulations to Ireland for your big win. Very proud of you.
Two shout-outs to Ireland this episode.
I suppose so. He's watching it. Janice arrives. She's there to help Chandler pack all his stuff. So that's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, she comes in, they're all like, well, what's going on? He's like, oh, well, Janice is helping me pack all my things so I can move to Yemen tomorrow. And they're all like, okay. You know, Joey's like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
But it kind of is just glossed over, and he kind of explains, it's a joke. I'm just doing it to try to get her off my back. I'm fake moving. I'm not really going. And that's that. So they know it's just all a hoax.
Well, I think everyone was anticipating him not being able to break up with her, so they just kind of saw that as the natural next step. You know, it's like classic Chandler.
Classic.
Ross is watching rugby. Probably the biggest note that you can take from it is it's a bloody tough game. I don't know what...
Absolutely.
It's brutal. Mm-hmm. Like, concussions are handed out, you know, legs are broken, necks are broken.
Teeth knocked out.
What do you think is a worse pivot into the world of athletics? Ross playing rugby or Pete Becker moving to the world of UFC?
Ross playing rugby.
You think?
I think Pete could train enough and get, like, and he has the money to hire the best to help
him.
That's true. Whereas Ross is just like, I'm going to watch this game on TV and then go out there with my fucking knee pads.
Yeah.
Like
a... Oh, please, we'll get to the knee pads. Don't jump too far.
I just couldn't wait to talk about
that. I know. I don't think he's taking it seriously, because Joey's trying to be like, this is a scrum, it's like a huddle. And then he's like, oh, there's a hum like a scruddle?
Yeah, like...
You need to take this seriously, Ross.
You gotta know what a scrum is.
I played rugby for like 6 weeks in high school for like a PE requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done football earlier in the year. And football, soccer was my game. So I was like running rings around all these big rugby lads. And I thought, yeah, fuck these guys, they're shit. And little did I know, they were all thinking, well, in 4 weeks' time, we're going to get him on the rugby field and we're going to fucking drill his head in. And they did, and it was terrible.
I was humbled. I want to give a shout out to all the rugby players out there, because their thighs are amazing.
I have pretty good thighs.
No, I know you do have good thighs. But I'm saying rugby men, and women, but... Those sounds like tree trunks, like a catcher in baseball.
I will give all the props in the world. Props, because props is a position in rugby.
Oh my God.
I'll give all the props to rugby players. It's a sport that I tolerate in small doses, but like, it's a fucking insane sport.
And it is.
If you can play it, then, you know, you're more of a man than I'll ever be. So he needs to take it seriously, but he needs to prove a point to Emily. He's doing it for the love of Emily.
Emily.
We then cut to the next day. We're at the big rugby game. They're playing on an impossibly small field.
Yes, so small.
It's like at least six a side. Like, that's too small.
It looks like the size of a half court.
You're going to get hurt.
In basketball. Like, it's tiny.
Wee wee. Nerd alert. Nerd alert. Someone let a nerd on the rugby field.
Oh my God.
What is Ross wearing?
He's wearing...
Well, let's just say, before we get to the rest of it, he has got a rugby shirt. So, give him some...
You know, he went to the mall and was like, I gotta find a rugby shirt to fit in with the guys. And so he probably just picked up the first one he could find, which is kind of like a checkered, you know, yellow and purple or some sort of, I don't know.
He got that right.
Looked like a bowling
though.
Shirt.
Talk us through the rest of it.
And then he was wearing long pants.
That's a big no-no. You would get fucking killed for that.
With... sneakers, trainers.
Your toes will get crushed into little dust.
And then bright white knee pads over his pants.
Yeah. Here's the thing about rugby players. They like to put on a big show of masculinity and having parts of your body protected. They pride themselves on not being like American football with the pads and the helmets and the cups. They don't wear that shit. So if you wear that shit on the rugby field, you're just making yourself a target.
True. Though I think that, in all honesty, they should probably wear some sort of head protection, mouth guards, cups.
They do wear mouth guards. They do wear mouth guards.
Head protection, cups... Protect the jewels.
Cups is an American thing. We just don't have
No
it.
Way.
It is.
No way. Even in like Little League and stuff, you guys don't have to wear them?
Little League what?
Oh, baseball, Michael.
How many people in Scotland and England do you think are playing baseball?
Well, I guess I just realized that maybe they're not.
They're 100% not. Ever. Not even
what?
One team.
What about soccer? What happens when... A ball comes up and just gets ya.
It hurts for a bit, and then you keep playing.
This is crazy.
No. It's fine. It's fine. It's no big deal.
Michael, I'm... This is crazy.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to go over there and introduce the world of baseball to that country.
You should open up a cup factory in the UK.
I could.
You'd make a fortune.
It can be a batting cage and a cup factory.
Yeah, people don't care about batting cages.
You know what? Maybe they will.
We've got rounders.
Fuck rounders.
Oh, I am so sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everyone.
Okay. Ross thinks in order for him to succeed in rugby, he needs to become Red Ross.
Now, remind me. Is this the first we're, as a collective, you and I, are hearing about this? Or is it just me? Because I don't remember.
No, no, no. This is the first time that he has made mention to Red Ross.
Okay, good, good, good. So who's Red Ross, Michael?
Red Ross is basically my old-mannered Dr. Ross Geller's alter ego, similar to Dr. Bruce Banner and the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, pretty much. He references a time where someone cut in front of him as they were going to see Dances with Wolves, and he lost it and yelled at the guy, basically becoming Ben Stiller from the end of season 3 when he guest starred on the show. You must remember.
Yes.
Okay, good.
So he turned all red and got angry and, yeah, you know, and spoke up for himself. Guy. Yeah.
I don't even know if that's going to help you.
Right, so
on the rugby field.
Phoebe and Joey are with him, and he's talking about Red Ross, and they're like, what?
We don't know who
they
Red Ross
yeah,
is.
They have no idea. And, you know, Emily is pretty worried about Ross going in there to start this game, so she talks to two of her friends and says, honestly, go easy on him. This is his first time out there. Please just, you know, be careful.
Mm-hmm. Something that's worth saying, you know, Ross was talking about Red Ross appearing when they were waiting to see Dances with Wolves in the movie theater. Pretty sure that film came out in, like, 1992, 1993. Joey had not moved in with Chandler by then, so he wouldn't have no idea who Red Ross is.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, Joey's younger than Ross, and
I just don't think Joey would go to the movies to see Dances with Wolves.
Did that win anything?
Yeah, it won a ton of Oscars.
Yeah, it was good. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, I have.
I've seen Avatar. It's basically the same thing.
No, it's not.
I've seen Fern Gully. It's basically the same thing.
No.
Okay, so, yes, Emily gives him a bunch of, tells the guys to take it easy on him. He's like, Ross, get in the scrum, Ross. And he can't figure out a way to get in the scrum, which is fair enough. Like, if no one's ever showed you how to get into a scrum, you wouldn't just know.
Right.
So he kind of jumps in the middle, and his legs are sticking out the top, and it's all
hilarious. It's like he's doing a handstand, and the guys are still in the scrum around him, and he's moving all around, and mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks silly.
Elsewhere, Rachel returns home and talks about feeling Joshua's pulse at Bloomingdale's. Just a way to keep that storyline going. Just
to
let you know.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, she's like, oh, he tried on a watch and I felt his pulse. So I thought they were going to go more with this. I thought she was going to say, and I could feel his heartbeat really racing. So maybe he, like, I thought she was going to use that to her advantage to say maybe he's feeling, you know, excited or nervous or something around me. But she just, it left it there.
It was just a little throwaway line to remind you that, like, this is her thing. We don't have time for Joshua this episode because we've got too much going on. But it's still a thing. Don't forget about it.
This is the Gellers episode.
And Chandler.
Well, it is, you know, really about Ross and Monica, the two main characters.
Monica's storyline is the third, is a tertiary storyline.
It still seems the most to me.
It isn't. Anyway, while Rachel is going over that, Monica's got a bunch of blueprints and she's looking at the wirings for the building. She's like, I can't figure out why this isn't working. She's still just annoyed over it. We then cut to the airport. Janice is still with Chandler. He's packed up all his shit. He's taken it to the airport. She still won't leave.
Yeah, she makes a kind of funny joke like, well, gosh, you have a lot of luggage. Someone has to ride in the other taxi with all of your stuff. It's kind of strange how your friends really, really aren't supporting you in this move. And he's like, oh, we're really not that close.
It's a good line.
Yeah, it is good.
She won't leave. Like, he thinks once he gets to the airport, she'll just go and he can then go, but she won't. So then he has to go up and, like, he's like, oh, I need a ticket. Can you just give me a fake ticket? And they're like, no. So he buys a real ticket. $2,100 ticket to Yemen.
On the day of last minute. Yeah, I guess it would be.
It's a pricey ticket. Ross has the ball. One guy jumps at him. He ducks and he weaves. And then someone tackles him and there's a pileup on Ross. And then it's halftime. He's really struggling.
Yeah.
Putting on a brave face for Emily, but when she goes away, he's like, oh, I'm dying. Tell my son I love you. I love him. And like, Ross, he's not going to believe that. You never fucking see him.
He doesn't even know who you are, Ross.
And we don't know who he is.
Right, true. He could be 25 years old at this point.
But basically, Emily gives him some advice. She's like, that guy's got bad ankles, and that guy's got bad knees.
And that guy doesn't wear a cup.
Yeah.
So cup's a thing.
He's got a trick hip. And you're like, God, I don't know how you would even Are you going to punch him in the hip?
My takeaway from that is that she had been with all of these guys, so she knew that stuff.
Oh, shit.
Is that not right?
Well, I don't think they're really insinuating that.
Oh, okay. I kind of thought it was because, from my perspective, from the first scene when those guys, you know, picked her up and tackled her or whatever, that she had slept with both of them. So
no,
she kind of knew a lot
Liam.
About them.
I think it was insinuated
Liam.
Oh,
I thought it was...
One guy. But with the rest, I think, like... I think if they were going to go that direction, there would have been, like, Ross being like, how do you know all this? And she would have, like, sort of blushed and been like, well, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe I'm just reading too much into it.
Well, no, I can't, Who knows? So anyway, Ross is like, I'm going for it! And he goes mad, and then Phoebe and Joey are like, oh, there's Red Ross! Oh, there you go! Rachel comes back to the apartment. Monica's put up a bunch of lovely little drawings that she's done all over the wall.
Yeah, so my first thought is I see all these, you know, very immature, cutesy little drawings on white paper that she had hung up everywhere. And I thought, this is my first thought, okay? That what happened is she figured it out. And that switch actually did more for the entire apartment complex. So other light switches in other apartments worked. And people liked that so much that they had their kids draw little little thank you pictures for her. And she got a bunch of them and she hung them up because she was like, haha, I figured it out. And look at all these thank you pictures from all the kids in the building.
What was it actually?
It was very, very close. Very close.
It's so close.
It was actually... She had drawn all of them herself to cover up the holes she had
smashed
through the walls to try to find the wire. And there were some on the floor, some on the walls. It was bad. It was really, really bad.
You were, like, fuming.
Well, first of all, I kept thinking about, like, asbestos and the shocks. And now, like, bugs could come in. Oh, my God. And, like, the fumes.
The mice,
like, oh, I
the
just...
rats.
That's okay. I don't mind that as much as I do bugs. But, like... And like how dangerous it must be. God forbid you touch one of them, you're shocked. Oh my God.
Yeah.
OCD is real, as we can tell for Monica in this episode.
And yet you don't support her in her venture. This is one of
Not
the few times.
Not this one.
Yeah, she's taking
Originally,
it too far.
Originally, yes, yes. The blueprints, I thought that was funny, and then she took it way too far.
Ross is carried into Central Perk by Phoebe and Joey and Emily. He's muddy as fuck, but he still sits down on that lovely, nice couch.
Oh, I know.
Where's Gunther? Gunther should be furious.
I know, he should at least lay down like a little tea towel.
Unbelievably inconsiderate. But through all that, I guess the second half of rugby was successful. Like, he made a lot of people cry and hurt people. Which,
yep.
As far as I can tell from watching rugby, is how you score points. So I guess, yeah, good job.
Yep. Successful. But just don't send anyone to the hospital by accident.
And he's just like, basically the moral is he's very kind of like smitten by Emily. He's like, you're just brilliant. You're just great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Elsewhere, Chandler is boarding his flight to Yemen. Because Janice, that's their couple name. Because Janice won't leave. Because this is pre-9/11 and you can just wait by the departure exit until the flight goes. What a beautiful time.
Yep, there's really no security at all.
So like he's like, alright, I'll go. So he walks onto the gangway and then waits a minute and walks back off because he assumes Janice has left, but she's still there. He's like, oh god, well, I guess I'm going then. And he goes. I guess he's going to Yemen.
Yeah. I mean, he just spent $2,100.
You may as well... Like, he makes it seem like it's such a huge deal that he actually has to go now. But it's like, well, you bought the ticket.
You checked your bags.
Go. Yeah, you may as well.
Yeah.
Like, just, even for the weekend.
Right. Just go for a couple days, see what it's like, and come back.
Just make it, like, a fucking once-in-a-lifetime experience out
mm-hmm.
of it. Like, if you're gonna go all in, you may as well fucking go.
Yeah.
Yes.
How long do you think the flight is from New York to Yemen?
A while.
Yeah?
Yeah, a while.
18 hours?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, probably about that. Yeah, that's rough. So the episode ends with him asking an elderly lady if he can live with her in Yemen. And the end credits roll, and Monica is flipping the switch, and she concedes defeat. She's like, I just can't do it. I've asked the super, I've hired electricians, I've given myself a lot of electrical shocks. It doesn't do anything. And then we cut to across the hall. Phoebe and Joey are watching TV, and the TV's flicking on and off. On and off, on and off. And Phoebe thinks she's in control of it. She's like, meh, meh, like blinking. Blinking it on and off with her mind.
And Joey loves it.
Yeah. And then it stops and she's like, I lost it.
I really like them together. I think they're fun. I want to see more of them hanging out.
They're just good pals.
Yeah. I like seeing Chandler and Rachel together too. One-on-one in the nail salon.
Oh, that didn't last very long.
No, but I like the... Sometimes when they do the pairs.
Yeah.
But you're right. We really don't ever see Ross and Phoebe together.
Because Phoebe doesn't like Ross.
Well... I like her for not liking him.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what the little sketch board thing says?
The Magna Doodle?
Yeah, whatever it's called. It said, nice nails, Chandler.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And that was the one with all the rugby. It was a silly episode.
It was silly.
There was a lot of silliness going on. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It was good. You know... Phoebe, kind of, again, a background character with her pregnancy. I think they're just going to let her belly grow a bit and then do stuff with her.
She was reading What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Was she? I didn't notice that. Rachel, you know, got her one little line to continue the fact that, you know, Joshua's still lurking. And, yeah, I thought it was fun. I enjoyed the rugby shenanigans. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Monica's little... insignificant adventures with the light switch. And yeah, Chandler and Janice. Like, I don't like Janice, but yeah, this is pretty good value for money. I much prefer Chandler trying to shake off Janice than Chandler with Janice as a couple.
Yeah.
All loved up. So, thumbs up for me all the way. 10 out of 9. Loved it.
10 out of 9?
Yeah, that good.
Wow, that's an interesting ratio.
Pretty good. Well, Elizabeth, we've rambled on for 50 minutes on this episode. Oh, bloody hell.
How did it get that far?
Just a lot of laughs.
All right.
A lot of laughs along the way. We should probably say goodbye. Thank you all very much for listening. It's been the Friends to the End podcast with Michael and Elizabeth. You can follow us on Twitter at FriendsPod. You can check out our website, friendstotheend.podomatic.net. All of our episodes, artwork's on there. Head over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star rating and review, and you can also tell a friend. Great way to spread the word of Friends and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Elizabeth!
Echo?
Thank you so much for being with me again.
Yes. Well, I'm really sucked into this at this point.
The next episode...
My contract doesn't end for a few more seasons.
We'll get it for renewal. We'll get you on $1 million an episode.
Perfect.
The next episode is the one with the fake party. Can't wait to see what that one's all about. Another party. God, these guys. These bloody 20-somethings in New York trying to have it all with their parties. All right.
No.
See ya.
Bye.